AM 1300, your 50,000 watt Christian connection.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We are one of Messiah congregation. Kahal Chai B'Mashiach. We are Jews and Gentiles, all in one body, one spirit, one Lord. We're all here together today, and be with us for the next half hour. We are one of Messiah congregation, and you can go on the internet at oneinmessiah.net, oneinmessiah.net. Today is the 15th of July, but it's also the 29th day. Actually, right, it's the 29th day of the fourth month, but they saw the new moon already. So in Jerusalem, so it's Rosh Chodesh.
Tonight
we'll be celebrating the beginning of the first day of the fifth month.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And it's not called Av, everybody. Judaism made up this name called Av. Av is not in the Hebrew Bible. Actually, Av is from Babylonian, Babylonia. Right? Exactly. It says the name is Babylonian in origin and appears in the Talmud around the 3rd century. The name's not in the scriptures, so we don't want to use Av. It's just the fifth month of God. You know, I have my reasons, maybe, I don't know, maybe God, there's no name for it, because this is the month where Nebuchadnezzar is destroying Jerusalem. It's a pretty horrible month, but at the same time, I think Ezra is actually getting information to build a temple. So it's good, it's bad and good. But anyway, my wife is here, and Carrie, say hello.
Hello, praise the Lord, and that's right. It's very important to know about the months of God. I know everybody says, well, why do we need to know that, and what is that? But it is in your Bible. Every time it says a month, it's not from our calendar, and you need to realize that. But God does have his own calendar. Praise the Lord.
Sister Ann, you have anything you want to say?
Well, I'm definitely going to call it the fifth month.
You know, maybe I said that a little too quick, because we're so used to saying it. Rosh Chodesh means the new moon. And the new moon is even found in Galatians chapter 2:16, which I know a lot of people misinterpret, and they don't say it correct. I mean, 2:16, what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, don't let anyone judge you pertaining to these things. In other words, don't let anyone talk you out of it. Apostle Paul already instructed the Colossians and Colossae around Asia Minor, and he's saying, look, you should know about the new moon, the holy days, the Sabbaths, the meat, the drink. Make sure, and they're all a shadow of who?
The Messiah.
Yes.
Things to come. A shadow, every body has a shadow, correct? And these things are shadows of Messiah's body or the Messiah.
I mean, just think in the Bible Belt, people read that verse in Colossians, they don't even know what the new moon's talking about.
Don't judge me, brother. I'll keep the Sabbath any way I want. I don't have to keep it. It's mine to do whatever I want.
I know. That's totally silliness. Don't mean that.
Yeah, that's silliness.
But anyway, I thought we brushed over that a little too quick, the new moon. God has his own calendar. That's what we're talking about.
And let's talk about what we do on the new moon. When the new month has come in the Lord, and that is by when you see the first visible crescent of the moon on the right-hand side. And if you look tonight at sunset, if we have no clouds, you will see it off to the west.
We'll be blowing the shofar tonight.
We'll blow the shofar, and we also, what do we do? We talk about
the things in the Bible. Tonight we'll be online on a program called Pow Talk, and we all meet, and we'll read the scriptures tonight, Lord willing, at sundown, blow the trumpet, and celebrate a new month of God.
Praise the Lord.
You have your shofar in?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to definitely blow it tonight, Lord willing. You know, David missed a Rosh Chodesh dinner with Saul. Remember
that? That's right.
That was pretty interesting, knowing that they get together, they have dinner, they make it a joy. Praise the Lord for that.
We take it as another month to celebrate that. It's another month to serve God and do something for the Lord. Plus, also makes us conscious of when the feasts of the Lord are coming.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I'm noticing a lot of Seventh-day Adventists out there are starting to notice that the feasts of the Lord. I'm starting to hear different Seventh-day Adventists bring that up. And you're invited any time to come by and talk to us. Give us a call anytime. We'll give you our number, 615-591-9820. I'll give it to you again later, slower.
That's right, because, you know, Seventh-day Adventists at least know about the Sabbath. And as we know, that could be really a breaker for a lot of Christians. They don't want to keep the Sabbath. They've been taught very negatively about the Sabbath. But Seventh-day Adventists have been keeping it. So in their respect, they're saying, well, what about these feasts? Why aren't we doing those? What it is people in every religion questioning between what the Bible says and what they're hearing in the pulpit, and then saying, you know, I think there's a problem here.
You know what the Seventh-day Adventists are missing? There's actually, I think, seven other Mikra Kodesh, seven other days that are like Sabbaths. They're called Shabbatons, and you don't see that in the English, but You know, we'll be glad to explain it to any Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, maybe it's time to come out of that religion, because that was just created in the 1800s. And, you know, it's time to get back to your Hebrew-Jewish roots and join the Israel of God.
Amen. To the old paths, wherein is the good way.
You know, today's topic we want to talk about, speaking about the Israel of God, everyone that joins the Israel of God, that joins the Messiah, that accepts Yeshua as the mediator of the new covenant, that accepts his blood as the blood of the covenant, you get an inheritance.
Praise the Lord.
Ooh, did you ever think of that before?
It's in the Bible and it talks about it a lot, but I think a lot of people, we don't think about it.
You don't really hear people talk about they getting an inheritance.
Well, if you're striving to reach heaven and to enter into the gates of heaven, you're actually getting inheritance. So it's the same thing. It's actually this. Even Israel had a land to go to. They were getting their inheritance. So you can kind of see it in the same light.
That's right. You know, I think it was last week we were reading the Torah portion, and the portion we read was Matot, which means the tribes, and Masay, which means the journeyings. And, you know, when we were reading this in the book of Numbers, it talks a lot about God dividing up the land, giving an inheritance to the children of Israel, you know, in the physical. So I was starting to, I was thinking about it that night, and I started thinking, well, there's also, whatever the physical is, there's always a spiritual, Apostle Paul says. So this spiritual portion is very important. You know, there's some thoughts about this. You could see in the scriptures that you can inherit everlasting life. Imagine inheriting everlasting life. Can you beat any inheritance than that?
No. It's a long-term inheritance.
I mean, how about inheriting the kingdom? You get to inherit the kingdom of God. Just the thought of that. I mean, I'm saying these as just words, but just the reality. Imagine being in a real kingdom of God. I mean, that's just the mind. Amazing. How about the scripture where that says, the people in the Bible that said, what shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? See, people were conscious of, they wanted to inherit something. They knew that there's a reward for doing good, as there's a reward for doing bad.
That's right. And can you imagine, here's the God of the universe, who Jesus was, Yeshua. He is God manifest in the flesh. And you ask him the biggest thing of all. He is your father, and he wants to give you inheritance. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Can you imagine asking God that? That's a big question, right? And he goes, what did he say? Thou knowest the commandments. He goes, you know the commandments. But the interesting thing about that is a lot of church people see what's said. I think he mentions some commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, commit adultery, whatever. But I always say this, unless you're a moron, or on the other hand, you have adopted doctrine that you can't see past that, you would know that those, he's talking about the Ten Commandments or any other commandments given in Torah that talk about it. But they'll say, well, I don't see this. He didn't say the Sabbath, so we don't have to keep it. But see, that doesn't even make any sense.
No, you're right, Carrie. And don't forget, the greatest commandment is to love the Father, your strength, your soul, all your soul, is to love God. So that's the first four commandments.
That's
how
right.
You deal with those commandments. Those are the greatest. He's actually, you know, just speaking about some of them. So, and those are the latter five. So I think that answers it. That for
it's the latter six.
So the words.
That's
so,
right. In other words, those are
the latter
the commandments.
Six. I'm sorry. Of course.
Right, and those are all the commandments that he speaks about exactly. So that's how you inherit eternal life, because, you know, let's go backwards.
Well, wait
a minute.
Hang on a second. Hold on now. Answering that question, you know, the Lord says, "Thou knowest the commandments." That's how you inherit eternal life. Well, just think, most of the churches don't have the Ten Commandments.
That's the little bit of a problem.
Does that mean they're not going to inherit eternal life?
And that's what I was going to go back to, is again, let's go back to the Torah, where they're in the wilderness. Are we not in the wilderness?
Yes. This is called the Galut, the exile, the wilderness, yeah.
Isn't the wilderness kind of a shadow or like a symbol of our lives here on this earth before we enter the Promised Land? And what did God say to him again at that time? He said all he wanted to know those 40 years is what?
If you would
keep
his commandments
or no. Right.
That's right. And so didn't Jesus say the same thing? He said,
exactly.
How may I have eternal life? Thou knowest the commandments.
You know,
that's why we were given atonement, because people didn't, right?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking, just putting this together, how like that those parables in the Gospels, you know, Matthew and I think it's Luke or something, Matthew and Mark, where the lawyer came to him and the other person came kneeling to him. It sounds like two different people, and the other parable might be the same. Mm-hmm. However, they said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And of course, the Lord answers, you know the commandments. But and then the rest of the story is, the Lord says, you lack one thing. So just think of all the people in the Protestant churches that are lacking one commandment.
And it's that same thing. What did he tell Jesus? He said, I've kept them all from my youth.
Yeah.
He really thought he was keeping them.
Of course.
Interesting.
But Jesus told him he lacked one thing. He obviously wasn't.
Well, this might be a wake-up call today.
Interesting. Yeah.
This is a sort of a wake-up call, because I wasn't thinking of bringing that out today.
Right.
To the Protestants, you Protestants that are listening, and Catholics.
You lack one thing.
Thou lackest one thing. And this one thing you might lack might be this fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath. Uh-oh.
And please don't walk away sadly saying, I can't do it, because you can.
We did it yesterday. Did you get any pain out of that?
It was great. In fact, I didn't realize it, but we left after the Sabbath.
Yeah, we did.
Because it was it was so great. You know, we were talking about the Lord, praising the Lord, doing music and whatever. And all of a sudden, it just got past the Sabbath, and we didn't even know it. You know?
I know. You get caught up in the day of God, and it's nice to fellowship with brothers and sisters and sing, and we eat and study, and, you know, we just get together, and the world's missing out. The Protestants are missing out. Just think, when they usually go to church on Sunday, like today's Yom Rishon Sunday, the day of the sun, they never even get a chance to fellowship. They hear the guy give a speech for an hour, they throw some money at him, called a tithe or a clap offering, and then they go home.
The sad part of that is that we're not all unified on the God's direct day, the seventh day. And wouldn't it be awesome if we were all, but that's not the case. We're not all unified on the same exact day, the one that God prescribed.
Boy.
I know, because on our way there, what happens? We're on our way there. It should be the world should be pretty quiet. All the stores should be closed.
Right.
Can you imagine what the world would be like if we could actually be that way, where everybody was keeping a day for the Lord and they wouldn't lack that one thing?
You think people would really want to give up the sports on Saturday?
For God, they should.
Well, they should, but I mean, you think they want to? The sports or the yard sales, or they send you all those like sale newspapers and your mailbox, and everything is to break the Sabbath.
No,
yet thou lackest one thing. Oh boy, that's a deep message.
Strong.
And you know, James says the same thing in his letter. What does he say? It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So isn't that the same thing Jesus was saying? You lack one thing. And if you lack that one thing, you don't go. Because really, you've questioned it all, you're not doing it all, you've chosen not to do one. And of course, in James, they're also talking about the commandments, because he says, if you commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, but you kill, you're a transgressor of the law. You've done one, but you haven't done another. The Sabbath is part of that same law.
Right, they're all quoting John, you know, Epistle of John, where it says, what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. So whichever one you break, and you're transgressing the law of God. You know, a lot of people, the laws of the land. There, some people are conscious of them. They don't want to break the laws of the land. Think about it. Why would you want to break the laws of God? I mean, you know, this is because you're going to miss out on an eternal inheritance. You know, Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Did you know that?
I know that.
Absolutely.
I mean, the unrighteous. Go ahead.
But losing out on, if you lack one thing and you lose out on the inheritance, there's also everlasting punishment.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a hell. Jesus talked about an eternal punishment.
Yes, people don't like to hear about eternal
punishment.
So
not just an inheritance that you lose out, because many of us... live life, you know, without an inheritance through our biological father.
Well, Anne, what you're saying is scriptural, but to bypass that, I'll just join the other religion. They say you just burn out.
Oh, no.
See, you know what it is? Satan made a religion to like an antidote for everything in the Bible.
Right.
Just like some people think that with the possibility of when you die, that's it, folks. Well, the Lord says he's coming back with all his saints. They're not hovering in the dust. It says that in the book of Zechariah and in the letter to Jude. He's coming back with all his saints. Now, if he's coming back with them and Yeshua preached to the spirits in prison, obviously there's some kind of consciousness.
That's right. You kind of bypass a little quickly. But that is a big point, and I was going to say that to what Anne said, is that when Jesus died, and while his body was resting, his spirit, of course he's God, he went and preached to the spirits in prison that were before the flood.
That's right.
Now, if they were, if their souls weren't conscious, how could he preach to them?
You know what it is? They're not conscious as pertaining to this life.
Right.
They never have a portion again in this life, but obviously, they were somewhere that the Lord went and preached to them. It says that. I mean,
exactly.
And also it says that the ones that did well are coming back. Now, I can't explain it to you how the bodies go into the ashes and the Lord's coming back with all the saints and the whole thing is going to transform into a new body. I don't know all that. All I know is we'll have to wait and see what actually takes place. I mean, that's the best thing to do. But the main thing we don't want you to do is lose out in your inheritance. That's why we're here today.
Amen. And then we talk again about who that inheritance was given to. The inheritance in Exodus, in the Torah, was given to the 12 tribes. Now, anyone could join the 12 tribes whenever they wanted to from the Goyim, right? From the nations.
Right.
And they were just as they were.
That's right.
And they also received whatever tribe that they entered, they could receive inheritance along with them, right? And again, we were talking about how the wilderness is, you know, how the promised land also is like a shadow of everlasting life. And remember, in Revelations chapter 20, it talks about the new heavens and new earth. Remember that is? There's 12 gates, aren't they?
Yes.
And it's the 12 tribes of Israel. So whatever you join, but you still have to join the covenant with Israel.
Those are actually the same verses in Ezekiel chapter 47. It says whatever gate the Gentile joins, that's the tribe he'll be.
Amen.
Or whatever tribe he enters, I should say. You know, so there's an inheritance any way you look at it. But know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Who are these unrighteous? It says right here, fornicator. Oh, fornication is such a big deal. Could you imagine that? I mean, that's rampant in the schools, colleges, and
Christians,
in the world.
Christians too.
I mean, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, even homosexuals have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I thought that was a third preference. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sin. It's like, it's in the same category as fornicators, idolaters, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. Guess what? None of those are going to inherit the kingdom of God. What about if you go to a church and you're a drunkard?
You can't be a Christian and be a drunkard.
Well, that means you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Of course not. You lost.
How about a Christian adulterer?
No such thing.
I know, but
they're not going to get their inheritance.
People,
no.
What they do? Well, if you don't, like I say, I'll bypass that what you just said, and I'll just join this other church that has once saved, always saved. See, I could join all the Protestant churches have something to counteract the Bible. So if you're preaching that strong message, I'll just join that church. If you're preaching that strong message, I'll just join this church. How convenient.
Well, convenient is right, because if you really don't have the love of the truth, if you really don't want to be obedient to God, and you'll just join the church to feel comfortable in it so that it justifies what you do, you don't deserve the inheritance that you were promised if you love and obey God and serve him.
And you might lack more than one thing at that moment. You might lack three or four or five things, you know, that will stop you from gaining an inheritance, but actually inheriting an everlasting punishment.
Amen. And on that list, Angela, that you just said, that no fornicator, no drunkard, etc., you know, and it says effeminate, homosexual. Well, guess what? Breaking the Sabbath is just as bad as all of those. You know, they're all equal in God's eyes.
Right.
So if you lack one of those, including the Sabbath or whatever it is, you will not get your inheritance, which is everlasting inheritance.
You know, I don't know why my mind just flashed to while we're talking. You know, you know, like we were just talking a few minutes earlier that we enjoy the Sabbath and it's such a pleasure, and that you know, matter of fact, time even expired yesterday and we were still there. I remember people going to church and looking at their watches,
yes.
Can't wait for it to end.
They used to do that in the Catholic church. I'd say, Dad, is it almost over? Is it almost over?
Absolutely.
Know ye not. It says, now the works of the flesh are these. These people that are in the flesh, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, if you're in the flesh and you're doing these sins, I don't see how people think they have an inheritance. Maybe, you know what I don't think? I don't even know if churches just talk about an inheritance or what they're going to inherit. In other words, not too many people I hear about talk about there is really going to meet the really living God.
Maybe it's because when they think they're saved regardless of their actions. And that is not true. You can learn, you can lose your salvation the day after you get saved if you go back to your old ways. If you're back to your old man and you're doing these things, the unrighteous things,
that's right.
You're not saved. You've got to read and pray, and when you learn things, do them. You got to do them. You got to be a doer of the word.
Well, I mean, that's the message today. This, you know, we were talking a little earlier to our listeners out there. We were talking a little earlier that, you know, even the simple structure of an inheritance, like the father, leaves you an inheritance. What kind of thoughts were you having about that?
Well, I just think it's a great honor in thinking that Jesus said that you can, you know, when you pray, you can call, he really meant him, but when he's saying, you can call God Father. And I thought that was like an amazing thing. Well, I started to read today concerning inheritance. There's so much about that. I read where Rachel and Leah answered and said into, I'm pretty sure they're Laban, their father, is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? And I right. thought, wow, that's has so much to do with maybe why we call him father, is that there's much to inherit, even in this earth right now. And then, of course, in our death, there is everlasting life.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
You know, and the structure in heaven is the way the structure on earth was put together. A lot of people don't see that, but that is true. You know, there's the Father that, you know, he's, and also his Son gives us light, you know, his Son and,
wow.
and the Son that he made us in the world gives us light and gives us nutrition. So does the Son of God. There's so many things like you can use,
there's
so many metaphors and ways of connecting
right.
everything.
Shadows, everything.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about when the sun comes up every morning, that's symbolic of the rising of the sun from the dead, you know, and the symbolic of your the resurrection and your new birth. And we don't want you to miss out on an inheritance. You know, in Revelations 21, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. So that means there's something to overcome. You know, there's something to actually do. You can't just sit idle and you can't just, you know, people, you should start now getting a little hungry. Maybe read some Bible. Come and join us on the Sabbath. You know, we meet every Saturday at 12 o'clock at the New Hope Community Church, 605 Wilson Pike, right in Brentwood, Tennessee. It's not far. Not far from you. I know you hear me on this radio broadcast. Come and see us.
Amen. And I'd like to just read from Isaiah 58, on what you do on the Sabbath. Of course, we know the commandment. You're not supposed to do any work, right? No one in your family, your animals, no one. But this is really wonderful because it's not a legalistic thing. It's just keeping the whole day for the Lord. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So you see, it's just a day where you just keep the whole thing for the Lord. And for people who love the Lord, it's really a quite easy thing to do. You know, what more do you want to talk about?
Well, I think the Sabbath, you know, is definitely a delight. You know, and it's definitely a way to read about your inheritance.
And you learn it, that's right.
I feel blessed, sanctified, and was it holy? I think there's three things it says about the Sabbath that it doesn't say that with anything else. Blessed, sanctified, and holy. And I do feel blessed when I keep the Sabbath. I mean, it's one day of resting in the Lord, and it's his designated day, a sign. And praise the Lord. I mean, I do feel wonderful about that.
We are talking about Friday night to Saturday night sundown, everybody. We're not talking about Yom Rishon Sunday, Sunday is the first day of the week. We're talking about the seventh day. Number seven is very significant in the Bible. Matter of fact, the four feasts of the Lord are in the seventh month, called Ha'etanim. And one day we'll explain that to you. The feast of the Lord. They're not the feast of the Jews. They're the feast of the Lord.
That's right. Praise the Lord. And the Sabbath is a day that, besides the Saturday Sabbath. Now, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you do know about the Seventh-day Sabbath. But there's also Sabbaths and the feast days that are a commandment also.
They're missing those commandments.
That's right, and that's proven in Luke, 23:56? They rested and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath according to the commandment. And anybody who can count know that Jesus did not die on a Friday. He died on a Thursday, and the next day, the 15th of the first month, was always a Sabbath. And that Sabbath is a commandment.
Yeah, that's Luke 23:56.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important to know that.
And most Protestant ministers never quote that verse at all anyway. No. That's Luke 23:56. But that's not talking about the weekly Sabbath. That's talking about the first day of unleavened bread, which is a Shabbaton.
Amen.
Yes, it's a Sabbath also. When the Lord died, there was actually two Sabbaths in a row. That's why one's called the High Holy Day. And most people don't know that because they don't know the Feast of the Lord.
But it's in your Bible. The only reason people don't know about all these things is because
church doctrine.
Church doctrine and not the Bible. They really don't match a lot of times.
It's time to get away from church doctrine because you want to be an heir. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you be the Messiah's, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise.
I was just going to mention, too, that, you know, as we talk about what heaven is and it's our inheritance, we always discuss heaven. We want to enter heaven. Well, the people of Israel, they also, in the Tanakh, we know that they also had a possession, an everlasting possession that they had a hope for as well. In Genesis 48:3, when Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. So they also have that hope that we also have, and you know, hoping of course that they lack nothing so that they can enter in, knowing that through the blood and also keeping of the commandments, you know, having an action for the love of Yeshua, we can enter in into a gate.
Amen. And the example of that is the children of Israel who went through the wilderness 40 years. How many of them over 20 years old entered the promised land?
Well, we know Caleb and Joshua did.
That's it. And why? It's
the children that didn't know between good and evil.
Because it was of sin, correct? It's because they were lacking, murmured, lacking. And that's the same way people are on this earth today, is everybody's in a religion, but yet they're not being obedient to God, and they still expect that inheritance.
Yeah, the more I think about it, in this conversation we're having, you know, yet lackest thou one thing? I bet people lack more than one thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing the horoscopes and all kind of stuff. But anyway, we are one of Messiah congregation, and we are Jews and Gentiles. If you want to mail us anything, you can send us a letter to P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. That's P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. If you'd like to get behind us with finances, we're Jews wandering around trying to get our own building. Maybe you'd like to help us. If you have some property out there, just a little shack would suffice us. I mean, we're not looking for anything prestigious. Anyone love the Jews and the God's chosen people? Come and join us. Maybe you can have a little land you'd like to donate. But anyway, you can also call us, please. Everything we have is free on our website, oneinmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. Call us anytime at 615-591-9820. 615-591-9820.
That's right. And we're all the Israel of God. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish, Irish, and Angela says ticklish. It doesn't matter because
I haven't
we're
said
all
that in a
equal.
While, huh?
That's right. I know. You should say that. It's very good. Because we're all one in Messiah.
We don't discriminate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Gentiles, you're not second-class citizens.
Nobody is.
We're all one in Messiah. We're all equal. We all have to repent, the natural branches and the grafted-in people. We all have to do tshuva, or teshuva, as they say, and join the vine, who is the Messiah. So I thank God we could be here today. We are One in Messiah Congregation, oneinmessiah.net.
And please join us. Just we'll just give you a little, just try the Sabbath just once. You know, it's just say, you know, Lord, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to believe you that this is still a commandment. And just decide that Friday night at sunset, you're going to put all your work away and you're going to concentrate on the Lord until sunset on Saturday night. Just give it a try and see if it doesn't bless your life. And also, it'll help you receive that inheritance because you'll be one commandment closer to being with the Lord.
Amen. So I want to say happy Rosh Chodesh to everyone, the fifth month of God.
And let's be born again.
Yes.
Truly born again.
Truly born again.
Born again means, it's the same always in the talk, that means to repent and ask the Lord to come into your heart. Thank God for the blood of the Messiah.
You're listening to WNQM AM 1300, Nashville Quality Ministries, your 50,000-watt Christian station in Middle Tennessee.